You. Hey guys, welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, joined by the brain science educator and coach, Mr. George Haymaker. So him and I started a project together where he's bringing me through a coaching session. If you missed it, episode one was the introduction to that. And I'm sharing parts of my life to illustrate how he works with his clients. And so one of the issues that I was dealing with that brought up in the episode, which is two episodes ago, was perfectionism. And today he's going to walk me through part two of this experience, his awesome coaching program, which you guys are about to learn a bit more about. And you're about to learn a little bit more about me. Before I get started, I just want to say thank you to Spreaker and iHeartRadio and to our fans, our audience, and all of you out there. Please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. George, it is good to see you.
Lisa, it's great to see you, and it must be Friday afternoon if we're together.
It is, and I'm always so such in a great mood because I know that I guess I go outside and do whatever I want for the rest of the weekend, but I do enjoy our conversation.
Well, that's why I schedule them on Friday afternoon because I know you're going to be in a good mood, and we're going to have a great experience together. So,
Hey, I'm always in a good mood.
you okay? Fair enough. That's. You're an extra special good mood on Friday afternoons.
There you go. There you go. I bring the heat. I bring the energy for all of our clients, and you're one of my faves. So there you go.
Excellent.
So we're part two. We're going through this process of building Lisa 2.0. We already pinpointed some of my issues and where this needs to go. So where does this go now?
Yeah, so let's just do a little recap for the audience's benefit, right? And for yours and my benefit as well. So this pattern that you were telling me about that I guess you'd say maybe struggling with or challenged by, even since early childhood, has been one where you've sought to be perfect, right? To, why don't you just recap that for us as to, is that the pattern that, we were discussing that you've been challenged by and tell us a little bit about how it presents itself in your life or has in the past.
Yeah, so I used to think that everything I did had to be perfect. So if I started something, it was this pressure to put on myself that it had to be the best damn whatever it was that I was doing, whatever it was. So it's like I'm going for a run. Well, I'm gonna go for the perfect run. I've got to do it this way. Every job I've ever done, I've been a perfectionist, so I do it fully, wholeheartedly, and so it almost like it put me in this corner because I'm like, oh, I don't want to sign up for that because then I'm not going to do it perfectly because I don't have the time, space, energy, blah, 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 blah. But then the kicker is nothing was good enough. So like even though I would achieve, it would never felt like enough. And so that was what we were working through.
Right. Thank you for that recap. And I think we labeled this pattern the pressured overperformer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's like that kettle that's like screaming. You know those old kettles like your grandma used to have? My Grammy would have it. And as soon as it would boil, it would like this loud, like screaming noise. And it was, I hated it. But that's what that reminds me of. That was me in that problem.
Right. That's a great analogy. Is that kind of what it felt like in your head? This screaming,
Yeah.
steamy. Okay. Not pleasant, not helpful. And I think you described to me that it did trace back to childhood and you had an older brother and he was very talented and skillful and you were always trying to measure up to him. Is that kind of how it developed?
Totally, totally. My brother is like the A plus student, the A plus guy, the guy who's in the books, the good hockey player, triple A hockey player. And my dad was pretty hard on us as kids, and we really were taught to work real hard. But everything I did, he always did a little bit better. So that definitely is where that came from. Yeah, for sure.
Right. And then we talked about, the six human psychological needs that all humans are trying to meet in their lives. And we looked at those six and we said, which of these do you think you were trying to meet when you were when this pattern was displaying itself? And there were a number of them that I think popped up into your mind. But the one that was most significant was, in fact, significance. You were trying to find your significance in the world, and so you felt like you needed to overperform in order to meet that need. Is that right?
For sure, overshare, overperform, overdo everything, try so hard. Definitely. Yeah.
And that was how you were trying to feel seen and valid and worthy and all of
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. External validation. Yeah.
Okay. And so the way that this pattern displayed itself, in terms of your behavior, you were overworking, worrying, feeling chronic pressure. What else would how else would it exhibit itself?
Constant state of fight or flight, always constant state of fight or flight. Would have a really hard time winding down, would never feel like it was enough. Watching a movie was difficult for me. Just when something was complete, it was like, what's next? Like there was no giving myself a break.
Right. Boy, that is exhausting just hearing you talk about
Yeah.
it. And so we explored some of the costs associated with this, right? I mean, how the toll it was taking, and some of the emotions that you mentioned were anxiety, exhaustion. What else?
Oh man, anxiety was a big one. Exhaustion, no, low confidence, low self-esteem, low self-worth. I would feel scared to share my voice. Look at me now. like all of those things, just feeling insignificant.
Right. I even think you even mentioned that it affected your sleep.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, my sleep was like choppy, like for sure.
Okay. And we talked about, how many times you think that you've repeated the pattern over your lifetime. And I think the number was in the what?
If you have a scroll, it's still rolling. So, yeah. It's like
Okay,
the longest
thousand.
toilet paper roll ever. It's like gigantic. And that's like time after time after time. Yeah. It was a pattern that very young age, from a very young age. Yeah.
Yeah, th thousands of times, right?
Thousands. Yes.
Okay. And you're pretty fit and active, so imagine you're a gym goer. So if you had practiced that pattern in the gym in some way, either in terms of weightlifting or some other athletic endeavor, you'd probably be pretty good at it by now, right? If you practiced it that
Yeah,
many times as you did the pattern.
absolutely. I what is that superhero, that woman superhero from the 80s? That's what I would be like. I would be like so muscular and fit and what's her name? I don't know, there's
Oh,
a bunch of them.
well, there's Wonder Woman. Remember
Wonder
her?
Woman. Yeah, but I would be like Wonder Woman but with like a Hulk body if I practiced that much with that many reps. Yeah, definitely. Overly huge muscles for sure.
Okay, well, the brain's very much like the body, and when we practice things many, many times, we get really good at them, and they develop patterns in the brain called neural pathways that get very strong and rigid and enforced. And we tend to then we get so good at them that they go into an unconscious part of our brain and they become our default. And so it sounds like that's what was happening to you, is you get triggered by something, or maybe it was just even relentless, and your auto brain, your basal ganglia would just keep presenting this default pattern over and over again.
Totally. And people knew that I was a hard worker. So, like, everyone wanted me to work with them and for them. And I felt like that was validation. It's like getting a phone call, come to work with me. And then it was like just constantly. So it was crazy.
Okay, so I think we spent enough time recapping, and you've done a great job of kind of illustrating what that pattern looked like, and what you thought when it appeared, and how you felt, and how you behaved, and all of that. So, and then we spent some time loosening its grip on you, right? We talked about all the costs that it has levied on you over the years, and even still affects you when it presents itself. We talked about if a friend of yours was dealing with this, how you would coach her. So do you feel like, with the work that you've done on your own, and maybe some of the insights you gained from last time us talking together, that your hold on this, or its hold on you, has been loosened to a point where you feel like you're willing to consider a new way forward.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's definitely the insight, right? So when you understand and can see it from a bird's eye view, that's when the change can come in because you're able to pinpoint those things. So absolutely.
Okay, so that's part of what we do in those exercises is we try to get you to come outside your body and look at your brain from afar and feel kind of bad for it, right? That it's had to deal with this all these years, and be objective about it. That's why we put a label on it called the pressured overperformer, because we want you to create some distance from the pattern so that it's not holding this grip on you.
Yes.
So we're going to build Lisa 2.0, and I know that you've done a lot of this building already with all the work that the self-development work that you, I mean, you're a growth-minded individual, so you do a lot of this anyway. But for the audience's benefit, we're just going to kind of go through this. So when Lisa 2.0 looks at this pattern, how does she view it?
Distracted for sure, non-serving, unfulfilling, chaotic.
Okay. Are there any good parts of the pattern that Lisa 2.0 would like to bring with her, or does she want to construct something brand new?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a work ethic like that. So I think the work ethic part is something that I took along would take along. Yeah, that one for sure. And the fact that I'm heart led, like I've always done my work from my heart. I've never been someone that would like lie. I mean, in my addiction days I lied, but when I got sober and started like taking life seriously, I never lied to anybody. I was always very honest, probably way too honest. So I think that's a great quality to bring along with me.
Okay. So let's just start to construct what Lisa 2.0's identity is. And I think where a lot of people struggle mentally is that they're feeling things and thinking things and doing things and experiencing the world in ways that are not in alignment with what they want their identity to be. And so they're not being the individual that they want to be deep down. And they're not acting and thinking and feeling in accordance with that. And that's where mental friction comes up. And so the brain is always trying to give us signals and talk to us and tell us things, but in the form of, signals, energy, and or negative thoughts or negative emotions. The question is, are we listening to it and are we doing anything about it? And, I don't know about you or a lot of people, but I know I had no idea that that's what my brain was trying to do. And my brain was giving me all kinds of signals. And I just thought that it was what it was. And I didn't realize there was any ability for there to be back and forth communication and for me to take what it was trying to signal to me and do anything about it. So I was just flying blind. And that's part of what we're here to do is to illuminate the fact that the brain is a trainable entity. It is not fixed. It is not telling us what to do. We have told it what to do, and we have trained it the way that it is. And so what we're going to try to do here is to create this identity of yours. Identify all the characteristics of it, and then you're going to go forward and live in alignment with every aspect of it. And if you do, then you will have no mental friction. You will live in a place of balance and lightness and freeness where the things that your brain will communicate to you are, good things. Things that tell you that there's no mental friction. So lightness, airiness, happiness, fulfillment, meaning, peace. Okay, that's what we're kind of after when we do this. So we're basically going to write a screenplay. We're going to write your character into a movie, and it's like we're going to give this character script to you, Lisa 2.0. We're going to build her, and then you're going to go start acting her out in every way, shape, or form. And if you do that, then you'll be living a life of peace and fulfillment, lightness and airiness and balance and all those other great words. Okay.
Well, it's a good thing I wore my ninja suit today.
Okay. That is good. So we're going to
Okay.
start with your values. Okay. Now, the
Okay.
values are guiding principles that determine what matter most in our life. And they're like a compass that points us in a direction. So, we're all heading somewhere in life. We have goals and aspirations that we're pursuing. But these values are things that live deep, deep, deep inside of us in our core. And they're the things that are our guiding principles, like signposts on the side of the road saying, do this, don't do that. And they're the things that create really deep meaning for us. So why don't you give me, 3 to 5 values that you want to live by going forward?
Yeah, I think those would be like being heart-led. So I what value would that be?
Being what?
Authentic, being heart-led. So authentic, being authentic,
Okay, yep.
being assertive, a good listener, staying true to my intuition and like being in alignment, being patient. And setting real good boundaries. So really valuing and respecting myself and leading with love, I guess.
Okay, great ones. Okay, so in our process together, we'd be writing those down and we'd be creating it. We have a workbook that we work with. And so we are defining Lisa 2.0. So those would be under your values, okay? And you'd be referring to those constantly. And the values and all these things can evolve and change and update over time. But this is where you stand today. And so these are the ones that we would use as in your identity today. Okay.
Okay, I need to add friendships and relationships to that too.
Okay. All right. Next would be your strengths. So what are the things that you're good at that you would want to leverage going forward? Because the reason we want to do this is because if we're good at things and we do and we leverage them, then we feel motivated, right? Because skillfulness is one of the 6 core psychological needs that all humans have to feel skillful at things. And so we clearly, it's not to say we don't want to work on our weaknesses and make them strengths, but if we leverage our strengths, then we are more likely to achieve our goals and aspirations, and we are going to be motivated by the fact that we're skillful at things. So what are the things that you feel like you're good at that you want to leverage?
My work ethic, that I'm hardworking, that I'm honest, that I'm caring, and assertive for the most part.
Okay. And how about character traits?
Character traits. Give me an example. So would that be like
So
honest,
just
like
things
being
like being persuasive or playful or honest or gentle or
yeah, I think
industrious or
I like a
sensible or
child.
courageous.
I'm very what's the word? I don't make decisions based on emotion, so I'm logical. And I'm definitely very playful. I'm very childlike. I don't take life too seriously, but I'm also very professional.
Sorry, my speaker cut out there for a second. You got me again, right? Okay, my apologies. All right, so we got the traits down.
Yes, we do. So I said that I'm very playful.
Okay.
I'm very honest, and like I'm very professional, but it's like from a I take business seriously, but I'm also very playful. So like the ability to not take life too seriously.
Excellent. All right. And what about, foundational beliefs that support motivation and worth? So, as an example, and these are things that you believe about yourself and the world around you that going forward. So previously, when this pattern would arise, you would believe that you had to constantly perform in order to feel significance and worth. And that pattern has been unhelpful. So, what would be some of the beliefs that you're going to want to carry forward with you for the rest of your life to help satisfy your psychological needs of significance, skillfulness, equality, togetherness, stability?
So it's the respect that I have for myself and the belief that everything is happening as it should, and that I'm in control of that. So what I'm putting out into the world with my mind and my energy is what I'm going to attract back. So I don't put the blame on anybody but myself if something happens. I'm very good at re taking that responsibility. So that's how I view the rest of my life. I believe that good things are going to come to me because of my heart and the way that I carry myself, the way I give back to the world, the way that I give to myself and fill my own cup so that I can show up for people and the world as Lisa 2.0 Ninja Girl. So that's definitely my thing.
Okay. And will your worth going forward be tied to what you put out in terms of results or performance? Or is there some other way that you're going to try to derive your significance?
You know, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, that creeps in all the time. It's like because just like anything, like when I accomplish something and I'm like, I have an F yeah moment and I'm like, oh, I feel so good. And then you come down from that because you get that dopamine, and then I'm like, oh, I don't feel as good. So I recognize that, and I want to say that I'm gonna feel as significant as I could as I should, but it creeps up. But for the most part, it's just like the knowing that I'm enough. I'm enough when I'm laying in bed. I'm enough when I'm doing things I shouldn't, scrolling on my phone. I'm enough when I'm just being. I'm enough when I'm sitting in the grass. I am enough.
Yeah, so I mean, you just outlined a bunch of great strengths and traits and values. Isn't there worth in those, adhering to those, versus having to churn out a result after result after result? Isn't there worth in the process of how you come into the world and how you go about trying to achieve the result instead of the result itself? Is that a belief that you want to have about yourself?
Yeah, I love that you said that because you're right. I treat situations, I show up with grace. I don't, you know, take advantage of that. So that's a very good point.
Okay. So maybe Lisa 2.0 would see value and significance and worth in just the way she was showing up, trying hard, doing her best. I mean, you've had a lot of experience in the world now, you've achieved a lot. And so you've gotten that just through your efforts and the way that you've shown up. So odds are, if you keep showing up that way and find value in how you're showing up and the process of how you're coming in the world, the results might just take care of themselves. Okay, great. Excellent. So we're kind of condensing this. Typically when I work with somebody, we're in this work for extensive period of time, really, grinding through some detail, having these conversations back and forth, me trying to stimulate more thought from you, but for the purposes of the fact that we're, on a time limit here, we're just gonna kind of, cite some examples of the types of things that we would be discussing, and then move forward. But so this has been great so far. So lastly, before we finish out constructing Lisa 2.0's identity, we want to talk about Lisa's 2.0's thought style, her emotional style, and behavior and boundaries. So kind of like how she's gonna, interact with the world and with herself. So I would assume, and just taking this old pattern as an example, how are your thoughts going to be different than maybe they have in the past when it comes to trying to meet, let's say, for example, significance?
Yeah, I think just like as we just illustrated with being me is enough, showing up as me is enough because I love and respect myself now. And the audience, like I've done this work, and as George said, like his method and theories, he walks you through them so that it's not typical to just come up with these conclusions so quickly, but I'm living, breathing self-help book. So it's just that knowing that my energy that I'm giving out is pure and like genuine and loving, and that's enough for me. It's like just being myself.
Okay. And so if a thought came into your head that was reminiscent of Lisa 1.0 that said, I'm not enough, I need to do more, I need to perform more, then Lisa 2.0 might have issue with that.
Yeah, the ninja would come in and say, "Stop it." And I mean, it happens all the time. Like it happens all the time, but it's that self-talk, right? It's that telling yourself, regrounding and getting out and just making sure that I'm looking after myself. So I know when that is triggered in me that I got to start looking for those glimmers and getting out and looking after myself to get back to 2.0.
Okay, so what we're going to end up with here is talking about that kind of thing when patterns are reemerging, what that means and what to do about it in a second. The emotions that emotions are very important because emotions are like gasoline on fire in terms of they're very influential in the brain. They tag neural pathways or patterns, and they determine how important the brain thinks they are. So things that are highly emotional, the brain tags as being highly relevant and important. So therefore, what is the emotional style and the type of emotions that Lisa 2.0 wants to experience that may be different than what Lisa 1.0 has experienced in the past? What would be the difference?
Reaction, the nervous system reaction, the self-doubt, the non-belief in myself. So the ninja just believes in herself, and doesn't dwell on things and is able to say okay, to be rejected and be like, that's fine, it wasn't for me, to approach these situations with grace and confidence and say, there's bigger and better, that this there's better things meant for me. So
Okay, so you would say that she would be less emotionally reactive, the ability to maybe regulate her emotions with more ease and grace, less fearful, less anxious,
Yes.
that who and what she is and what she's doing is not enough. So more calm, all of that.
100%. Yeah, I like the calm. Yes.
Got it. And so lastly, behavior and boundaries. You mentioned the word boundaries a few times. Again, just relative to Lisa 1.0, when this pattern would arise, I would assume that because your thoughts and emotions were telling you you needed to be more and do more, that you would then try to do and be more. So it would come out in your behavior, right?
It would. Yeah, absolutely. And I had zero boundaries. My boundaries, not that I had zero boundaries, God, that'd be awful, but they were not as tall. My walls weren't as built, and they were easy to jump over.
Okay. So they weren't strong boundaries, they were flexible ones.
Exactly. I would not show up for myself. I would not show up for myself.
Okay, great. So that's a really good framework and, some definition around what the difference between Lisa 1.0 and 2.0. So now we've kind of written the character script of this new ninja Lisa, and now we have a template for what her values are going to be, what her beliefs are, strengths, traits, thought style, emotional style, behavior, boundaries. So this is a really good framework, okay? So with that in mind, this need of significance that you used to try to satisfy by overperforming, how would you restructure this pattern to meet this need of significance?
Me waking up, practicing gratitude, saying I'm going to show up as myself today and do my best to accomplish what I can. It's like letting go of the expectation, right? There's no expectation. Life throws you things left and right all the time. Can't control anything but yourself. So just making sure I'm responsible for myself, my needs, and re releasing control. Just letting go, surrendering. It's going to be okay.
Okay, so you would still have your goals and aspirations. Those wouldn't change. But you would find more worth and significance in how you go about trying to achieve them, knowing that, you're being in alignment with your strengths and your goals, I mean, your values and your traits and your beliefs. So as long as you were operating in that framework, and you were working hard, which is still important to you. You said it's one of your values. So as long as you were doing that, you would feel it would satisfy your need for significance, and you wouldn't be as wrapped up in your the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. The other day I had a busy day and I had to be out of the house and I had a call and I had to get ready. And as a woman, getting ready means like it's going to take an hour and a bit because I have long hair and I'm blow drying and I go downstairs and I've got about 10 minutes to make a smoothie and I knocked over this giant container of pumpkin seeds. And it went everywhere, and it was like raining pumpkin seeds. And I was like, oh my God, it's in like the cat water. It's in this, it's all in the cabinet. And in like that 10 years ago would have destroyed me. But I was able to, I just started laughing. Oh my God, I just started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, whatever. You guys are going to be finding pumpkin seeds in the house for the rest of the year. And I just dealt with it, and I didn't react, that was powerful. It was powerful. I went on with my day and found a pumpkin seed this morning. But it's like that, the ability to just surrender and like whatever it happened, like that to me was like huge for myself and my body. And the day isn't going to be perfect. And that was the perfect day. Like that's how the day was supposed to unfold. So it's powerful to feel that and live that.
Excellent, excellent. And so when you do achieve something, will that be enough in, with Lisa 2.0? Or will there be this ongoing need to that not being enough and what's next? Or will you celebrate that victory for what it is, experience gratitude and whatever else you want to experience, and let that be enough?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And if you do that, what will be the benefits to you, mentally, emotionally?
I mean, I think I just said it, like just the peace of and belief that everything is okay.
Right, and the calmness and the just
The
everything.
laughing, the playful, there's just like, yeah, like I just, like I said, re releasing the releasing of control. And so like the calm and the chaos.
And how rewarding would it be to you to feel that instead of what you felt so many times in the past?
Yeah, so good.
Great. So this is part of what we do here is we want to experience how this new character is going to experience life when this pattern would have, when she goes about her day, and in moments where this pattern would perhaps likely resurface, what would be different and what would be the benefit? And it's important to let the brain experience that in all its forms. How let the brain see it, let the brain feel it, let the brain think it, because the brain learns in all of those different ways. And these patterns are made up of thoughts, feelings, actions. They're all woven together in these neural pathways. And so we have to interweave them like braiding hair. So that, especially with emotion, so that it tags it as very important. Because if we can tag it as very important, meaning the calm, the joy that you would feel, the peace, if that can be more rewarding to your brain than what it was doing before with Lisa 1.0, then the brain will automatically want to do that instead, the new one instead. And so this is all part of the rehearsal process. We, as I mentioned, we're trying to create this character, and now you have to then play this character by rehearsing it over and over and over again. And so you had mentioned that you spent thousands of rehearsals, rehearsing the previous unhelpful pattern. And so it stands to reason that the brain's going to need a lot of repetitions to replace it. Okay. But every time that you do a successful rehearsal, you can't just let it be. You have to then experience why that's so much better than the old way. Because you're giving your dog a treat. You're rewarding your brain for feeling and experiencing life that way. If you just blow right by it and don't sit there and savor and experience why this is so much better, then your brain is going to not as aggressively tag and strengthen that pattern as it would. And that's what we want to do because we want the brain to replace that old pattern with this new one. And so I'm going to challenge you. I know you do a lot of work with self-help and development. You're always working on yourself, which means you're a growth-minded individual, which is wonderful. All of us should be, I think. So if your old pattern is still appearing, it is my contention with you that you may want to try to rehearse this version of yourself with relating to this pattern. And any other ones you feel like you want to embed deeper into your brain and ingrain as stronger neural pathways, we just need to rehearse them more. And you need to experience them more and the benefit of when things go the way that you want them to go. And if you do that often enough, fastidiously enough, and stop the old patterns in their tracks and do not engage in it, because every time you rehearse it by engaging in it in any way, shape, or form, you are strengthening that old one again. And so we cannot engage in that. You said you have very good boundaries now. So that is a great boundary to have a very firm one on, that as soon as it begins to appear in any way, shape, or form in your mind, the thought, the feeling, the action, any of it, you intervene. Do not engage, and you draw upon the construction of Lisa, the Ninja Lisa that we just drew up. What does she value? What are her beliefs? And act according to that.
Love it. I love it. And I will. I feel like as much as I do this work, it's constant and ongoing. So doing this thoroughly with you is a reminder of that need to practice. And I do have those moments. I mean, I'm human where I forget these things. So I'll come back to this and reignite the ninja brain and tackle those issues.
Yeah, all this really means is that our brain has still got that pattern that it's still accessing. That's all it means. So the brain is signaling to us. It's saying you haven't deactivated this pattern yet, and in order to do it, you need to rehearse the other one more, and you need to find more reward in that one, and then it will it the old pattern will begin to go dormant because we're no longer watering and fertilizing it. And we're going to water and fertilize the new pattern so that over time it will become the default pattern and the other one will just kind of die off. Until that happens, if the old one keeps resurfacing, then you haven't done enough work on it yet. And remember that this is probably your strongest pattern that you've ever created in your life. It's the one that you've brought up for us to work on. So it's probably highly influential. So it's going to take a lot of rehearsal for it to be. And it may not ever completely go away, but you'll find that the amount of times and the strength at which it comes back will start to get further and further in between and weaker and weaker.
I agree. I agree.
All right. So this has been fun. And then I'll just ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to living as Ninja Lisa?
Oh, I'm so committed. Told you I already got my green suit on.
Nice. There's no going back.
No,
All right.
God, no.
All right.
Feels
Well, you
good.
have been an absolutely ideal coachee. Thank you for letting me, being a part of this and being so open and honest and allowing the audience to share in your experience. And, this is available for anyone out there who, wants to be that version of themselves that they've always wanted to be. The brain is more than willing to construct this new identity. It's a process that you can go through. And once you commit to it and start rehearsing it, your brain can begin to leave behind the things that are unhelpful and unwanted and begin to transition and shift into a new and different self. Okay. And this is not fluff, it's not pie in the sky. This is actually neuroscience. It's, more than proven. There are real scientists and real laboratories that do these studies that understand how the brain works. And we're just blessed with the fact that, we are not stuck with our brains the way that they are. The brain is a very trainable organ. Thank God for me. Otherwise I'd be dead by now. But we can make the brain whatever we want it to be.
Thank you for walking me through those sessions and illustrating how the brain works and how our patterns can be changed. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn at George Haymaker, HAYMAKER. Also a bunch of great videos on YouTube. And I'm on Facebook. Also, my website, georgehaymaker.com, and they can set up a free call to just chat about what's going on in their lives and to see if we're a good fit together. There's a link on there on just about every page for a free discovery call.
Amazing. Well, any last words before we end our call?
I'm worn out. You wore me out. I think I just, have a great weekend, huh? And spend some time practicing being the best version of yourself, Ninja Lisa 2.0.
I love that. And to our audience, you can become a ninja too. Get in touch with George. He's got some great content out there, some great slides. I've been following him on LinkedIn, and there's some really great advice on how to work with your brain. Brain science. He is a brain science educator and coach. I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. I'm going to go ninja my way into the weekend. I hope you guys are all doing well. Do not forget to like and subscribe. Bye, everyone.